This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Welcome back, folks. We are attempting to hook up with Jesse Noel, Regional Director, Southeast Louisiana Flood Protection Authority, West. I got a lot of texts that came in about what I was talking about with these DOGE contracts, DEI spend and everything else. Everyone's saying, oh, well, you know, you're talking about this, but you're not talking about that. Folks, I'm just providing information. And I do the research on these, on this stuff. Folks are like, you know, who validated that information? Oh, well, all of this information is what the universities characterize their spend on, not anybody else's characterization. In fact, you will recall, not too many years ago, they were boasting about the amount of the spend, as well as ESG with corporations, environmental, social, governance, spend. Now they're retreating. They're realizing that a lot of what they were talking about, the public has no interest in. None. Zero. They want you to focus on the blocking and tackling. Fundamental issues that are impacting their lives each and every day. And stop getting caught up in all this ideological warfare over a whole bunch of other things. And I think most people are saying, let that work itself out. Let us not have to spend tax dollars funding and financing all of this. We can't even educate our kids. We have very few school systems in this country that actually have students at grade level reading. But yet we're off and running, funding and financing, taking money out of mainstream education for other things. And of course you have a percentage of teachers that love that because they don't need to be held accountable for, and they're not being tested on DEI. So the more they can talk about that, the more that they don't have to be worry about accountability. We've had some teachers even admit that. They're not even shy about that. So I think these are legitimate concerns, legitimate observations. The reason all of this is coming to the forefront, in case you didn't already know, it should be readily apparent to you, is that you have a new president with a different ideological bent. And they're willing to talk about all of these things that they're uncovering that we are actually spending money on. And if we want to get serious about trying to manage or post a balanced budget, which I will be deadpan honest with you, I do not believe that Donald Trump will accomplish that. So let me just go out on a limb right now before people start texting again. I don't think he's going to accomplish it. I think everybody talks about it, and I don't think it's going to be accomplished. I think the last president to accomplish it was Bill Clinton. And I don't think it'll be accomplished by this administration. But be that as it may, doesn't mean that this is an unhealthy exercise. I've not been a big fan of the execution thus far either. I understand some of what he's trying to do. And I talked about that last week about the bureaucracy. And we continue to see the pushback in the bureaucracy because they don't want change. They want status quo. They worked hard to get to a mindset and a landscape that they survive and live in today. They don't want that to change. You work hard so that you're getting what you want, when you want, why you want it, without much accountability going on there. And anybody that comes in and wants to disrupt that system that you've worked so hard to achieve, and now you're reaping the benefits of your efforts, you don't want that changing. You want it to stay the same. And as you move from the first, second, third to the fourth quarter of life, most of those folks that are past halftime, they absolutely don't want it to change. They want to work out their remaining years with something very stable, not having to learn a lot of things new. I've seen it. I'm not saying that this is the majority. I don't believe it to be the majority. But I believe it to be a healthy number of the minority in that number. And those individuals stop an organization, otherwise known as the entity, from achieving what it could ordinarily achieve. If you were clicking on all cylinders and applying all of the cliches that you can to that situation, of being 100% in, of wanting to deploy technology, to integrate it into your organization where it makes sense programmatically, and you know, deal with those issues. So it's going to be interesting to see how we're going to work through this. Democrats are doubling down. They don't like this. A lot of this, not all, but a lot of this was created under their administrations. And, you know, we shall see. And we saw a lot created under this administration just within the last days of this administration. $20 billion in handouts to green groups in the Environmental Protection Agency, where Lee Zeldin, he doesn't know what to do. And in fact, two or three days after they took office, some of the bureaucrats moved these monies to bank accounts for a number of these groups that were awarded this money, so they could not even freeze the money in order to see whether or not this is something that they had any interest in funding or financing. And most of these are corporate giveaways for the green energy, whether that be wind or solar or this or that or otherwise, automobiles and things of that nature. That are out the door. No chance at all in getting it back. In fact, he thinks it was done in such a fashion that it's very suspicious, and he wants to make a referral to the DOJ in order to see whether or not it is. So it's going to be interesting as we continue to see all of this unfold. They're still uncovering stuff because these bureaucracies are large agencies. They have a lot of sub-agencies. Not clear as to actually who reports to who. Over the years, some of them have been given higher, more levels of autonomy than others, and things of that nature. So it'll take a while. I have actually been very surprised that they've been able to find out as much as they have found out thus far. Obviously, there are some folks within these agencies that are willing to provide more information as opposed to less. And, you know, it's just I've been amazed by the amount of information that has been revealed thus far. And I think there's going to be more to come. And I know, you know, look, I understand it makes Democrats. I get a bunch of texts all the time about this every time I talk about it. You got a new administration in. Those on the Democratic side of the aisle, relax. They're going to make their positions available. They're going to take remedial action. Some of it, some people will agree with. I suspect a lot of people won't. I suspect a lot of people don't even realize that some of the actions that have been taken are going to actually hurt their pocketbook. I also suspect that Trump will end up losing some support here in the very near future when people ultimately end up figuring out how that tariff impacts their industry as opposed to some other tariff, how this policy affects their industry as opposed to others. You're starting to see people starting to talk about that now. You've seen political advisors say, sit back, take a breath, wait, and let this all play itself out over the first coming months of the administration, and we'll see where this is all going to go. In fact, you may not have to go searching for ammunition. The ammunition may fall on your lap. That's how it happens with every transfer from one administration to another. This is nothing new. It's not rocket science. This is politics 101. This is how it works. With one exception, they're moving at breakneck speeds right now as opposed to any other transition I have ever seen. Which just means you're going to get to these points in time sooner rather than later. And I wouldn't be afraid of supporting some of these cuts and aligning it more closely with our foreign policy to make sure that we're actually able to gain the most leverage that we can get as we deal with these things. We cannot be all things to all people. We do not have the money necessary to do so. Yes, we are the wealthiest nation in the world, we and China. But the fact of the matter is that does not equate to being able to fund and finance every desire, nuance, or other that people want to have happen. It doesn't put us in that position where we can just spend dollars on a whim for whatever purpose. Try things economically for whatever purpose. By spending money. That's how we end up with a $36 trillion debt that's growing at a pace that we've never seen before. And at some point in time, we have to wake up and recognize somebody's going to pay it at some point, someplace, somewhere, somehow out there. I don't know about you. I would like to start seeing single-issue bills presented to Congress, up-and-down votes on issues, the big issues, Social Security. How are we going to deal with this? Get a bipartisan bill together. Let's focus on that. Let's spend more time on that. I for one, do not believe that we need a full-time Congress. I think a full-time Congress is working to our detriment as opposed to our benefit. Sit down and let's find a solution to the funding of Social Security and what ultimately makes sense. Same thing with Medicare. Same issue with Medicaid. Three of the largest buckets in the federal government. Three buckets that more likely or not will impact every U.S. citizen at some point in time in their life. And if that doesn't make it a priority issue, I don't know what does. I'm tired of the threats and the scare tactics from everybody inside the Beltway as it relates to the future of these three programs. And as a voter, as a taxpayer, what I desire is stability of these three buckets more than anything else. Stability. Knowing and having a comfort level that these things are going to be adequately funded and adequately and appropriately managed. I don't like having to worry about this. People are planning for their retirement their entire life. They want to know that what they started doing 20 and 30 years ago to supplement or to have Social Security supplement what they were doing was still going to be there. It would be presented in the same fashion. Because the closer you get to the date where you have to take some action, it's too late. You can't catch up. I believe that we as taxpayers are owed that by this Congress, by every Congress that goes into session. And we haven't had any. We're still devoid of coming together and trying to figure out how we're going to deal with that issue. It would be nice if we had one congressional session that we only took up these three matters. How great would that be? The entire session just to these three buckets. Nothing else. No other bill, no other business, nothing. Defer it. Deal with this. Figure this out. Figure out how we're going to do this. And then figure out how to do something to fund the government other than a continuing resolution. Because once these three things are resolved, it makes that continuing resolution issue go away for the most part, if we're able to resolve these three issues. You know, it's no different. It would be interesting if Donald Trump woke up one day, or any president for that matter, woke up one day and kind of like his approach in the funding of defense spending with NATO, saying to members of Congress, we need whatever percent of the budget necessary to fund these three bucket items. I will veto everything. Whether it's proposed by a Republican or a Democrat, in every session for the remainder of my term as president until there's a bill on my desk that resolves these three issues. The manner of that threat seemed to work with NATO. Now they're all concerned. You got Macron the other day saying if France has to be the country that steps up and faces Russia down, we will be the country. Denmark has now figured out a very creative way to fund and finance the war in Ukraine. They are giving dollars to the defense industry folks in Ukraine that are actually producing weaponry. It's amazing the byproducts and the spinoffs from compelling people to do what they were supposed to do under the rules of NATO. Why don't we just take that same approach as it relates to funding and financing a government here? I would love Donald Trump to go to the podium and say, I will veto every bill till these three bucket items are resolved. Get after it. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back, folks. Louisiana lawmakers are demanding a change after an investigation exposed what they call a flaw in a state law that meant to prevent racial profiling during traffic stops. The investigation showed that the law allows police officers to label only race, not ethnicity, which they claim means that drivers are often labeled as black or white, even though they don't identify that way. And here to talk to us about it is C. Dennis Marcel, a representative from the state of Louisiana. Welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you?
Denise, welcome to the show. Thank you so much. So tell us about your concerns here relative to what is happening.
So first of all, when I wrote this legislation, it was an outcry from many of the people throughout our state as it relates to traffic stops. As you know, there was a lot going on regarding how people were handled at traffic stops. And this, in my opinion, was a way to show whether or not they said they weren't doing racial profiling. They had enacted some racial profiling rules in their different law enforcement agencies. But I thought this was a different tool to make sure that we collected the data at the traffic stop to show, particularly in regions, how many people were being stopped in certain areas. That was one of the thoughts, that in certain agencies, areas of, let's say, state police, that blacks were stopped more often and given more tickets for whatever in a particular area. And so when they say they didn't do it, I say this would be a way to show if you're not doing it, and we would be able to collect that data. Of course, that has not happened, as I understand it.
So what is it that you propose to change this situation?
the new legislation that I'm proposing in this session?
Yes, ma'am.
Is that what you're asking about? In the new legislation, I'm simply adding ethnicity as a requirement of enforcement officers to record that and retain that information. And I think that, for me, that's where I believe the loophole was. So when they stop and people, they're saying, you know, whether they're black or white, whether their last name is Lopez, Rodriguez, and they can clearly see that they're not white or black, then I think we need to make sure that they are, because it skews the numbers for me.
So the officers will not be asking, it'll be their observations, correct?
Correct.
And we believe that this will improve the database?
I think it would. I mean, that's the intent of it. That was the intent initially, to make sure that we were collecting the data properly and seeing what those numbers look like.
So are we looking to combat racial profiling as well as ethnicity profiling?
Well, I think it's very clear to me that that was an issue of racial profiling when I wrote the legislation, right? But we can't get the accurate information if we're not including the ethnicity, as I have found out, particularly what I've been told, and I don't have all that data in front of me. I'm requesting that from in Jefferson Parish, particularly the numbers are really skewed by putting down white when that ethnicity is actually something else. And so I'm looking to make sure that the information that we're collecting is correct and accurate, and I think it's a problem when we're getting it and it's not accurate. And yes, a part of it is racial profiling.
Yeah, I'm just kind of confused because, I'm probably almost 60% Hispanic.
Okay.
And I know no one would look at me and say, oh, I think you're Hispanic. They're going to put down white. I can legitimately claim, although I don't, that I'm Hispanic. In fact, you know, if you go to the country of Spain, more than most recent polling, more than 50% of the people in Spain say that their race is white. They say my ethnicity is Spanish. Mm-hmm. They don't even consider themselves as part of Latino or the Latinx or whatever else. I don't know that it gets any better. I mean, if somebody walks out of the car and approaches the officer and that individual says, "No comprende inglés," and it's
right.
That individual is
That's
visibly
clear.
Black. Is visibly black, the officer is going to put what down? There's a choice. It's either going to be black or it's going to be Hispanic. What does the officer put down on that ticket?
Well, I think that, you know, our officers are intelligent enough to know if a person gets out of a car, for instance, myself, and I start speaking in Spanish, that does not necessarily mean that I'm of ethnicity of I'm Mexican or any other race. I believe that they can make that observation themselves.
I'm asking you, what would you want the observation? I mean,
I would want the officer to put down black.
I mean, what if that person identifies as Hispanic? I don't identify as black. I identify as Hispanic. Unless we're allowed to ask them. It's still not right as it relates to how they view themselves as, because, you know, we're trying to mix race with ethnicity, and in thinking that we're going to get to a place that that the database is actually going to be more meaningful. And actually, in my view, we're convoluting the database. We're making it even less reliable at that point in time. I mean, clearly, if somebody doesn't speak English and you're given the choice black or Hispanic, whichever one you choose, you know, it may not be correct.
I get it. And there's no perfect solution to this problem. I just believe that adding that ethnicity gives them another option, because currently they're saying that they're doing it because there's only two forms on there, two spots that they could choose from, white or black. And that's what they have been saying. So if there's another option and they want to choose another
form,
option.
The form would be flawed then if there's only two, because there's five races. That's all there's ever been, is five. I know we've tried to bastardize this thing over and over again of all these sub-identified groups. And I can just go through a litany of those. I mean, if you just look at the Mexican population, you know, they even look at those as, you know, you even have mestizos in there, which is a mix of Spanish and indigenous ancestry with Indians. 52
right.
languages, 52 languages spoken in Mexico. 52. You know, and a lot of them are dialects that don't even remotely represent Castilian Spanish or Spanish in general. And they view themselves entirely different. Maybe we create another box for ethnicity as opposed to try and mishmash race and ethnicity.
And I'm not saying that you don't create another box for ethnicity. That certainly should be an option based upon what the officer is looking at and what he believes that they're that should be checked. And I think that helps to clarify some of the issues that we're having. I didn't say it would be perfect, but I think it helps.
Well, I mean, you know, but I was in law enforcement for 40 years, and enforcement strategies utilized across this country is you tend to have a disproportionate share of auto or traffic enforcement where the crime is. Because it is a tool that is used to see who's going in and out of that neighborhood and this, that, and otherwise. And if the neighborhood is disproportionately Hispanic, you're going to have a disproportionate number of stops in that piece of geography. If it's black, it's black. If it's white, it's white. I mean, it doesn't mean that there's discriminatory intent. And the problem when you just look at this raw data that's put out there, it doesn't account for any of the investigative strategies that are deployed, you know, while, you know, during the year to explain some of these, what other folks might call anomalies that is implied discriminatory intent. The data still is meaningless. It truly is.
You are proposing that these stops are in a particular area. Sometimes they're on a state. State police stop people in the state and not necessarily any particular. It could be just the opposite of what you said. It could be a predominantly white area, a predominantly white city. But if the data starts to show that Hispanics are being stopped there more frequently than anyone else, then that is an issue, and I think it's something that we certainly need to look at. So on the one hand, I hear what you're saying, but it could actually be the flip side.
We could have black officers that do nothing but stop white people.
Correct.
I don't know how much time we spend looking at that, but I could draw all kinds of conclusions. If there's an overrepresentation of whites that receive tickets in the city of New Orleans, that police department is majority black, I think almost two-thirds black at this point in time, that I could probably make a good case that we have discriminatory intent there as well, if I just look at the raw data.
Yeah, you probably could if that's the case. But we wouldn't know that unless we have some data. And that was my intent.
I think we could look at the data right now and find out whether or not we could make that case. That's the point I'm making. I mean, you know, it's just I understand, Representative. This is not criticism of you. Let me start right there. This is a very touchy topic that people are trying to find, you know, surface solutions for, and what we are doing is we're going back to the base of trying to redefine race for the purposes of trying to prove discriminatory intent. And that is a dangerous proposition.
I realize that, you know, race divides people into groups based on physical characteristics. So I understand that, and I understand that ethnicity is something totally different from race. I get it. My only intent in this law, when I proposed this law, was to look at information in all over the state of Louisiana to see who they were stopping and, you know, what their race was, how did they identify, and to look at those numbers. And now state police said that they were already working in that area and they wanted to do it. They actually came to the table and said, we want to do this. So they didn't have an issue with it. The state police didn't have an issue with it because they were trying to clear up their own, you know, agency to say that this is not what we're doing. So if the data shows that that's not what they're doing, it's not what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, you know, the problem I have, and I don't need to name the representative that says this and was quoted, and it's not you, but was quoted in the article. If they're classifying Hispanics as white, that definitely will skew the data and say there's no profiling in the state of Louisiana. I am fundamentally, legally Hispanic. I identify as white. And so I guess I'm skewing the data. And I guess the next claim is going to be made, I'm doing so in order to prove that there's no profiling in the state of Louisiana. I mean, that's how ludicrous this gets. You know, as when we make statements like that, that when we're doing something like that, that the data is actually skewed. We're actually skewing the data even more in some respects. And you just made that admission. And I think you recognize that. I know there may be members of our constituencies that want to see something differently. But the reality is, unless we're going to collect racial data and understand that there are five categories in historic races, I know we've tried to bastardize that in modern times, and that all other things are ethnicities. And when you go to the root of Spanish, of Spanish people in Spain, more than half of them consider themselves white. And then you have the Catalans that are there that don't consider themselves white. They consider themselves Spaniard, and they make up almost a third of the geography in Spain. I mean, you start adding all of these layers to all of this.
I get it, but we're not doing this study in Spain. We're doing this in Louisiana.
I understand, but we've not asked people how do they identify as a race. I'd be kind of curious how that is.
Okay. Not
a lot of the Hispanics I know, they identify themselves as white, and their ethnicity as being Hispanic. And most of the ones that are educated recognize there are five racial categories. there's a whole bunch of ethnicities that exist out there. And when we ask officers to make this observation on a congested highway out there where it's not readily apparent, we never get to the point where we're really collecting good data without asking them. But they don't want us to ask them because then they don't want to have the downstream implications. If they answer the question, that might lead to other questions. They don't want to answer those either. I get it. I understand. And it's just an imperfect process that I think is going to remain imperfect no matter what we do. But I hate to see it be blaming the police that there's discriminatory intent on the stop just because we're interpreting raw data is my only position. Representative Denise Marcel, thank you so much for joining us. Truly appreciate your time and your insight.
Absolutely.
And,
I have,
Have a great session coming up.
All right. I thank you for your giving me your insight. That's certainly something I need to think about.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. Have a great week. We'll be right back. Stay with us. So folks are saying, well, I was only thought there were three races. I didn't know about five. There's Caucoid, Negroid, Mongoloid, American Indian, Alaska Native, and Pacific Islander. And folks change Caucoid to white and the other to black and the other to Asian. And, you know, but there's five. And look, and I understand what everybody's trying to accomplish. I don't know that this is the way to do it. They don't want police asking these questions. They want them to make the observations. And then we have folks, I don't believe Representative Denise Marcel's intent is to do this, but we have folks that take that information and try and use it against law enforcement for purposes of trying to make something other than what it truly is. Plain and simple. And I mean, it doesn't make it, because you're making it more complex. And that's the only reason I bring up what most recent surveys in Spain. More than half of those folks consider themselves as a race white. Their ethnicity as Spanish. And then you have other sections of the country of Spain that do something different. If you're a Catalan, you know, they look at themselves as more of a blend, part Spanish. And, you know, and it's Mexicans as a nationality that gets all, you know, messed up in the Hispanic community. And that's why I brought up how many different dialects and that there are there. There's a blend, a mestizos of Mexican and Indian. Remember the Incas, the Aztecs and others. You know, that were there. And you got this mishmash, and we're asking officers to make observations. Well, guess what the clearest observation is? Whether your skin is white or black. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. So folks are saying, well, I was only thought there were three races. I didn't know about five. There's Caucoid, Negroid, Mongoloid, American Indian, Alaska Native, and Pacific Islander. And folks change Caucoid to white and the other to black and the other to Asian. And, you know, but there's five. And look, and I understand what everybody's trying to accomplish. I don't know that this is the way to do it. They don't want police asking these questions. They want them to make the observations. And then we have folks, I don't believe Representative Denise Marcel's intent is to do this, but we have folks that take that information and try and use it against law enforcement for purposes of trying to make something other than what it truly is. Plain and simple. And I mean, it doesn't make it, because you're making it more complex. And that's the only reason I bring up what most recent surveys in Spain. More than half of those folks consider themselves as a race white. Their ethnicity as Spanish. And then you have other sections of the country of Spain that do something different. If you're a Catalan, you know, they look at themselves as more of a blend, part Spanish. And, you know, and it's Mexicans as a nationality that gets all, you know, messed up in the Hispanic community. And that's why I brought up how many different dialects and that there are there. There's a blend, a mestizos of Mexican and Indian. Remember the Incas, the Aztecs and others. You know, that were there. And you got this mishmash, and we're asking officers to make observations. Well, guess what the clearest observation is? Whether your skin is white or black. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.